right, let's take our Bibles, please, and go back to Genesis chapter, what is it, 5, 7, 6? Where were we? I know the answer to that question. Yes, we are. Can't forget that, can you? All right, let's look, please, starting in chapter 10, and we're looking at the sons of Noah. And last week, we barely just got through the introduction to what I wanted to show you, and so we have much more tonight, and with what I gave you last week, that generated a lot of questions, and I'm going to try and answer one or two of them, the simple ones, if I can tonight. One of the questions that was asked was, Pastor, are you telling me that Noah was not a Jew? And yes, that's what I'm telling you. Noah was not a Jew. All right? And then the question was followed up. So are you saying that Adam was not Jewish? Yes, that's what I'm saying. Adam was not Jewish. All right? Now, the descendants of Adam, from Adam to Noah, were about 2,000 years of history. And that's if you just stop and think about that, that's amazing. All right, it's been 2,000 years since Christ died on the cross. All right, and now think about the fact that it was 2,000 years between Adam and Noah, and then after Noah got off the boat, his three sons are responsible for everybody else on the planet today. Now, I know that that blows your mind, but it shouldn't, because, you know, with the modern technology that we have today, with the healthcare that we have today, it should not surprise you one bit that that population is just expanding at an unbelievable rate. All right, so no, they were not Jews. And I'm going to show you tonight when we get over to the discussion of Shem, the third son. All right, we have Japheth, and we have Ham, and then we have Shem in this chapter, and those three boys are the basically the father of all the nations of the earth. All right, so last week we looked at Japheth, and I want you to notice verse 5. Look at verse 5. When speaking of the sons of Japheth, verse 5 said that by these were the isles of the Gentiles, divided in their lands. All right, so from Japheth came the Gentile nations. All right, you say, well, who were the Gentile nations? Well, they were... they are the nations that are not they're not Jewish, and I'm going to show you where the Jewish came along folks came along a little bit later on tonight. But if you will look carefully, it says that by these were the isles of the Gentiles divided in their lands. All right, now don't forget. Go down to verse 25 again, and don't forget that Shem had some kids, and then they had kids, and then they had kids, and one of their kids' name was Peleg. And in verse 25, Moses tells us, "For in his days was the earth divided." All right, now, what was it divided into? Well, it was divided into continents, and those continents spread apart. It is believed that all the land was one after the flood and before the flood, that all the land was one. And then the sea, the oceans were around the one great big landmass. And so in that 2,000 year period between Adam and Noah, you would have had this civilization that filled up that landmass. And that's why, folks, you can go up into northern Canada and find the ruins and the remains of woolly mammoths that were destroyed in the flood. Now, those mammoths were not cold-blooded creatures. They did not live in cold weather. There was no cold weather. The cold weather came after the flood. And so the evolutionists and all that, they really struggle with some of these questions. Why is it that you can go up into Siberia, and why can you go into northern Canada and Alaska? And how is it that you can go up into Norway and Sweden and Finland? How is it that you can go down along the equator in Africa and still find the remains of the woolly mammoth? Well, the answer is because before the flood, the whole world was covered in that canopy, and God had the entire earth air conditioned. Before the flood, there was no such thing as the frozen north or the frozen south or the frozen Carroll County. All right, no such thing. Okay, but then after several generations, so a couple of hundred years go by, and if you'll look at verse 25, it says that one of Eber's two sons, one of them's name was Peleg. His brother's name was Joktan. But Peleg, and it says, look at it, "For in his days was the earth divided." Now, they didn't just wake up one morning and boom, the earth was divided. All right? The plates, the earth's crust and the different plates began to move. I dare say they didn't even know that it was moving. They couldn't even feel it. It was a gradual, slow thing. And then eventually what happened was you had Africa form, you had Europe form, you had Asia form, you had North and South America form. Now, folks, just go home tonight and look at a globe. Everybody's got a globe. Look at your globe and put your hand over here on Los Angeles, and then put your elbow down here on Lima, Peru, and then put your other hand over here on Egypt, and let your elbow drag down to South Africa, and just squeeze it all together, and what you'll see is it all fits. It all fits. So it was at one time one landmass. But a couple of hundred years, you say, well, why would it do that? Well, it would do, you ever take a baseball, leave a baseball glove outside when you were young and then it rained? And you woke up the next morning to go out to go to school and you looked and saw your glove laying there sopping wet. And so you took that glove and you laid it where the sun would shine upon it. And you went to school. And then you came home and you went and looked at your glove and it was all wrinkled up and shriveled up and you couldn't even get your hand in it. Well, that's basically what happened to the earth when all the water began to recede off the earth. All right, when the fountains of the deep broke loose and it all flooded, it was a universal flood. The entire world was underwater. And so that water began to recede. Where did it go? Back into the earth. And that caused those plates to shift, and the earth was divided in the day that Peleg and his brother Joktan were on this earth. All right, so where did the descendants of Japheth end up? Well, they ended up, I'm just going to come right out and say it, the white man, all over the world, all over, all right, all over the world, the white man. I'm talking about the Chinese, the Russians, the Americans, the Europeans, all over the world, all right? So that one word that is key for understanding Japheth, the father of the Gentile nations, the key there is that little word in verse 5 where it says Gentiles. Now, notice, please, notice in verse 2. In verse 2, we read that Japheth's children, one was Gomer, the other was Magog, and some of these areas are still today make up that great big nation called Turkey today. Folks, Turkey is huge. I don't know if you've ever noticed that on the map before, but Turkey is a huge landmass. And so the descendants of Japheth went over from where they were in when they got off the boat in Mount Ararat, and they just went around in the area of Turkey, and then as they multiplied, they went up into Asia, they went up into Europe, and then eventually got over to America. All right, so that's what we have with Japheth. All right, now move to the next one. Look at verse 6. In verse 6, down through verse 20, we have the sons of Ham. Now, I told you last week that the name Ham means hot. Hot. And the Hamites, when you trace the sons of Ham, Cush, that's the land. Basically, it's Ethiopia in Africa. All right. Then you got Mizraim and Put and Canaan. All right. The land of Canaan. And then he breaks it down. The sons of Cush, and he starts naming all these names. You see, Sheba. Remember the queen of Sheba, All right, now where was that? Well, today that country is called Yemen. Sheba was Yemen, or is Yemen. All right, Dedan, that's down in Saudi Arabia. Okay, so you've got all of these peoples that settled basically around the equator. They basically settled around the equator. And what does Ham mean? Hot. All right, so it makes perfect sense. Now, from Ham came this guy named Cush in verse 7. And then notice that Cush had a son, and he named him Nimrod. Nimrod. And then it says that Nimrod began to be a mighty one in the earth. He was, in verse 9, a mighty hunter before the Lord. Wherefore, it is said, even as Nimrod, the mighty hunter before the Lord. And the beginning of his kingdom was Babylon. Babel. All right, so Nimrod is, you turn the page and you're going to read about the building of the Tower of Babel. And that is the founding of the Babylonian culture, the Babylonian Empire, kingdom. All right? And so it goes all the way back to just a 100 years or so after they got off the ark. And here is old Nimrod. And he was a mighty hunter. And it says in verse 10 that the beginning of his kingdom was Babylon and Erech and Akkad and Kine in the land of Shinar. All right, so he is the one who settled in what is today Iraq and Syria and Jordan, that region. All right, and that's Cush, and he established the city of Babylon. Now in verse 10 we have these nations that are mentioned, but we learned that they are all the descendants of Ham. And as far as God is concerned, the descendants of Ham are Gentiles. They're Gentile nations. Remember, as far as God is concerned, if you're not a Jew, you're a Gentile. Okay? And we read that from Cush in verse 7, Iraq, Syria, all these nations that are today Arab nations. And those nations, in God's eyes, are Gentile nations. So very, very plainly, we see that the descendants of Ham basically dwelt around the equator. They lived in hot climate. They lived in the area that would be hot year round. All right, and so there were some several of these sons of Ham, and each one of them can be traced. And their people are all in that Middle Eastern area that we know so well today. All right, so Cush had a son. His name was Nimrod, and he is mentioned and called specifically by name because in chapter 11, God is going to tell us about how Nimrod rebelled against God. All right, look at chapter 11. It says that the whole earth was of one language and of one speech. All right, so everybody spoke the same language. All right, now we don't know what language that was. We don't know if it was Hebrew. We don't know if it was Aramaic. We don't know if it was English. But they all spoke the same language. And then it says, and it came to pass as they journeyed from the east that they found a plain in the land of Shinar and dwelt there. Now that land of Shinar, that is the region between the Tigris and the Euphrates rivers. All right, and that is just one plain, beautiful plain in that area. When Pastor Ray and I were over in Lebanon a couple years ago, there were a bunch of Christians that came from Iraq to our meeting, and they were the sweetest people. I mean, they were the sweetest people. And the patriarch of the family knew a little bit of English. And I asked him, where did he learn English? And he laughed and said, I love Lucy. That's where he learned English, by watching I Love Lucy. I thought, oh, boy. So anyway, we got to talking one evening, and I said, so tell me, if I ever come to Iraq, if I ever come to Baghdad, can you take me to the ruins of Babylon? Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, we go there all the time. Wouldn't you love to go see that? I mean, that'd be wonderful, would it not? And then I said, what about Nineveh? Oh, yeah, we could go to Nineveh, too. It's just down the road. Yeah, we could go to Nineveh. So here are all these ancient civilizations. I'm sure you remember from your history class, the Akkadian, A-K-K-A-D-I-A-N, the Akkadian culture. Well, we just read here verse 10, Babel and Erech and Akkad, the Akkadians, all right? And so here are all these civilizations, and they came from Nimrod's leadership, and God points him out under the sons of Ham. And why? Well, because something very key happened under Nimrod. He was, first of all, we're told that he was a mighty hunter. Now, wait a minute. There wasn't a whole lot to hunt, right? Now, if you remember, God sent Noah to of every animal. And then the animals that were going to be sacrificed, he sent seven. But those were sacrificed. So they weren't around. So just as civilization had to grow, the animal kingdom had to grow. And so when it says that Nimrod was a mighty hunter, it doesn't mean that he strapped on his bow and arrow and went out and killed woolly mammoths. There weren't any. There weren't any. You say, well, then who did he hunt? He hunted men. He was a killer. You either do what I want you to do, or I'm going to kill you. He was a mighty hunter, all right? And so if he was hunting animals, what was he hunting? There weren't any. They had not yet multiplied to where they would be in abundance. So what was he hunting? He was hunting men. Now, folks, why would you do that? You need to realize why he founded this city-state along the Euphrates River on the plain of Shinar. And if you look at chapter 11 and verse 4, you'll see it. So the earth is of one speech, one language, and they said, go to, let, what's the next word? Us. Let us build, what's the next word? Us, a city and a tower whose top may reach unto heaven. And let what? Us make what? Us. All right, you seeing a pattern here? Let us make us a name. They didn't want God's name. All right, they didn't want to go by the name the children of God or the sons of God or the people of God. They didn't want God in their lives, much like today. But the astonishing thing here is this is just a few years after they got off the boat. Think about that. Nobody learned, does nobody ever learn anything? Doesn't seem like it, does it? Man, what a world we live in. All right, so let us make us a name. We don't want God's name, we want our own. Lest we be scattered abroad upon the face of the earth. And so what happened? Well, the Lord came down and he saw what they were doing. And in verse 6, he said, now this is a conversation among the Godhead, all right? This is the Father speaking to the Son, speaking to the Holy Spirit, and the Spirit speaking to the Son and the Father, and the Son speaking to the Spirit and the Father. This is a conversation between the Godhead. And the Lord said, behold, the people is one, and they have all one language. And this they, what's the next word? Begin to do. And now nothing will be restrained from them, which they have imagined to do. And so what happened? Verse 7, God confounded the languages. And that's where you get all of the languages that are on the earth today. God confounded the languages. That's amazing. Now you ask an evolutionist, how do we get all these languages? And watch them stutter. But the Bible here explains it. It explains it. So all language is confused, all right? That's what Babel means. It means confusion, all right? You got that? All right, now, take that confusion now and go all the way over to the book of Acts and chapter 2. And what happened in Acts chapter 2? Well, here comes all these Jews from all over the known world, and they're gathered in Jerusalem for Pentecost, for the holiday, for the holy day. And Peter gets up, filled with the Spirit of God, and he preaches. And all these people that were there, at least 3,000, at least, because 3,000 got saved. And so here are all these thousands of people, and they don't speak Peter's language. They have their own language. Where'd they get it? They got it at the Tower of Babel. And they've had it all those years. And now they come to Jerusalem, and Peter goes out there and preaches the gospel in his native tongue. And what did God do? He switched it back so that there was just one language. And they're Peter's preaching his heart out, and they're all standing there looking at one another going, how is this that every man hears in his own language? Folks, God can do anything. Is nothing too hard for the Lord? No. He can cause a virgin to have a baby. And he can confound the languages so that they have to scatter. But he can also bring it all back to one if he needs to. And that's exactly what he did on Pentecost. Amen. You see that? All right, let's see. What else we got here? All right, let me just keep on going here with Ham. All right, so the descendants of Ham, all right, they didn't want God. And that's why Nimrod is called out here, because Nimrod decided that he didn't want to have God's name. He wanted the kingdom that he was going to build to have his own name. All right? And so rebellion. After the flood, you have rebellion. Nimrod, the lawless one. And of course, Nimrod is a picture of the Antichrist, the lawless one, who will come during the tribulation period. All right, so there in Nimrod, you see a picture of the Antichrist. Now, third son, let's go back to chapter 10. And if you will notice in verse 21, it says, unto Shem. All right, so in verse 1, or verse 2, you got the sons of the family of Japheth, the Gentiles. Then in verse 6 through verse 20, you have the sons of Ham, which means hot. And they are the people around the equator, in the hot zone, in the sun, in the heat. They are the dark people on the planet. They're the dark ones. All right. And then you've got Shem. All right. Now let's look at Shem. Unto Shem also, verse 21, the father of all the children of Eber, the brother of Japheth the elder, even to him were children born. All right. So now we've got Shem. Now, Shem means, you ready for this? Name. Shem means name. Over in Israel today, you go over there today and you listen carefully to the Israeli guide, and he is going to talk about Hashem. Now, you know, first time I heard that, I thought, bless you, you know? I said, Hashem, bless you. That's what I thought. I thought it was funny, but he didn't. But anyway, Hashem means the name, all right? And that's what that's the name. That's the safe name that they give to God, Hashem. They cannot say Jehovah. All right, they cannot say that. That's too holy. The rabbis have declared that's too holy. Can't say Jehovah. All right, so they call God Hashem, the name. All right, the name. Now, what do we know about Shem? Look at verse 25. All right, verse 25. Here's what we know. Probably about 100 years or so after the flood, we are told that that Shem had a son. His name was Arphaxad. And then he had a son named Salah. And then Salah had a son named Eber. And then Eber had two sons, Peleg and Jokthan. And remember, it was in Peleg's days that the earth divided. And so you wonder, well, how did the Amerindians, or do you know who the Amerindians are? All right, the Amerindians are the native Indians in South America. They call them the Amerindians, and they look Oriental. They literally look Oriental. And so the question was, well, how in the world did they get down in South America? All right, well, they got down in South America because they were from the family of Shem, and when the earth divided, they were already on the western side of the earth, and when it broke off and separated, they ended up in what is today the continent of South America. All right, now, do you want to know what the name Peleg means? It means division. Division. Yeah. All right. Now, so here we learn that that Shem had a son named Arphaxad. All right. Now, let's just continue on with Arphaxad. All right. Look at verse 24. And Arphaxad begat Salah, and Salah begat Eber, and Eber unto Eber were born two sons. The name of one was Peleg, and in his days the earth was divided, and his brother's name was Joktan. And Joktan begat Almodad, and Shelef, and Hazar Maveth, and Jerah. All right, this ought to be the test you have to take to qualify to be a deacon. All right, you got to read all these names and get them right. All right, verse 27. All right, keep looking. It says, and Hadaram and Uzal and Dikla and Obel and Abimael and Sheba and Ophir and Havilah and Jobab, all these were the sons of Joktan. And their dwelling was from Mesha as thou goest unto Sephar, a mount of the east. These are the sons of Shem, after their families, after their tongues, in their lands, after their nations. These are the families of the sons of Noah after their generations. In their nations, and by those, watch this now, and by these were the nations, plural, divided in the earth after the flood. So all of us come from one of these three sons of Noah. That's the point. Okay? Now, do you see that? All right. Now, one more thing quickly. Let's see. All right. Go to Go to verse 12 of chapter 11. All right, and here we go again. The generations of Shem in verse 10. All right, so we've got this Arphaxad fella in verse 12, and then Salah, and then verse 14, Eber, and then he had sons and daughters, lived 403 years. Then Eber lived 430 years and had a son named Peleg. There he is, division. And Eber lived after Peleg 430 years and then begat sons and daughters, etc., etc. Verse 19, Peleg lived after he begat Reu 200 and some years. All right, and then in verse 20, Reu begat Serug. And then verse 21, just kept going. All right, look at verse 22. And Serug lived 30 years and begat who?
Nahor.
Does that name ring a bell? All right, going down. And Serug lived after he begat Nahor 200 years, and Nahor lived 920 years and then begat Terah. Does that name ring a bell? Terah. All right. Read on. And Nahor lived after he begat Terah 100 and some years. And then Terah lived 70 years and begat who?
Abraham.
Now, folks, look here. Right there with Abraham, right there, is the first Jew. He is the father of the Jewish people. You say, how you know that? Look at verse 12, or chapter 12, verse 1. Now the Lord had said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country. He lived up in the plain of Shinar. He lived 500 miles away from Israel and the land of Canaan. But God said, get up, get out, leave your family, leave your father, and go to a land that I will show thee, and I will make of thee a great what? Nation. What is a nation? It's people. What people? The Jewish people. That's who. And so right there is your first Jew. All right, everybody got that? All right, so that answers everybody's question. All right, everybody cool? All right, now, one more thing, it's time to go. But this will be quick. Watch, in chapter 10, go back to chapter 10 for just a moment. In chapter 10, Ham, Shem, and Japheth. All right, chapter 10, 70 nations are listed. 70. 70. Did you hear me? 70. All right. How many members of the Sanhedrin? 70. All right. 70 is a big number with God. All right. Going on. 14 from Japheth, 30 from Ham, 26 from Shem. And notice, three sons of Noah, and these three are the fathers of 70 nations or peoples. Now, in chapter 11, we see the descendants of Ham are the dominant ruling people on the planet. They were the dominant people, the descendants of Ham. These descendants of Ham are folks that lived along the equator. Remember, Ham means hot. And then in chapter 12, when God calls Abraham, the focus shifts. It goes from the Hamites over to the Shemites, the descendants of Shem. And it went that way in the Bible and in the focus, nobody cared about America. Nobody cared about Canada. Nobody cared about Norway. The focus, the moment that God called Abraham, was now upon the Shemites, the descendants of Shem. And it was like that until the Lord Jesus came, died, was buried, and rose again. And remember, John said, Jesus came unto his own, and his own received him not. And so starting about, about 35, 36 AD, the shift happened again. And the focus became upon the descendants of Japheth. And the focus has been upon the descendants of Japheth for all these years now. You say, well, Pastor, what's your point? My point is, maybe God is demonstrating with the way this whole thing is played out through history, maybe God is showing us that it does not matter whether the descendants of Ham are prominent or the descendants of Shem are prominent or the descendants of Japheth are prominent. It just doesn't matter. All three were incapable and are incapable of ruling this world. The Hamites messed it up. Everybody started speaking different languages. The Shemites messed it up. They didn't believe in their own Messiah. They had all the scriptures, but they would not believe. So the focus shifted over to the Gentiles, Japheth. And look at the mess Japheth has made of everything. You've got communism. You've got totalitarianism. You've got socialism. And all the other isms. So what's the answer? Even so come, Lord Jesus. That's the only answer right there. All right, let's pray. Father, we thank you from the depths of our heart for the Word of God. What an amazing book it is. And I pray that you will bless what we've said tonight, stir our hearts with your truth. Father, help us to go home and read and reread. And just get a real feel and understanding for these scriptures. They're so vital, so important. And so, Father, give us, I pray, understanding of your word. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen.